Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing? Why don't you stand with us this morning as we go to the Lord in worship and thank Him for all the great things that He's done for us.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 How many of you would say that God has done great things in your life? How many of you would actually say that God has taken something that didn't look great and made it great? Come on. How many of you are just ready to give the Lord all you got today? Don't hold anything back, but let's just give it all to Him. We're going to ask right now, and we're going to go to prayer and ask the Lord to be in this place. But most importantly is as He is in this place that we not be distracted by the things that are in this world or of this world, but we be focused in on just tuning into what He would say to us today. How many of you can do that today? Come on, let's let the Lord just pour into our hearts. Lord, we ask right now that as Your presence is in this place, Lord, as we lift up holy hands and worship to You, as we lift up our voices in prayer to You, Lord, as we lift up our lives in dedication and service to You, Lord, we pray that You, with Your still sweet voice, would speak into our hearts today. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would convict, the Holy Spirit would guide, the Holy Spirit would direct. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would encourage today. Lord, I pray that we would, if we came in here discouraged, Lord, that we leave encouraged. If we came in here weak in body, we leave strong in body. If we came today in depression, or we came today, Lord, without you and all that you have promised to us, Lord, we pray that we leave here today remembering your promises, that your word says they come true. And so, Lord, we ask right now that we would just devote all of our energy and our thought to you today. May you strengthen us in body, mind, and spirit. And may all the honor and glory go to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated in the house this morning for just a few moments. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. If you've come to visit with us today, in the seat back in front of you is a visitor card. If you'd reach there and grab it, it says, "We're glad you're here." And right there, you can fill out your information and you can put it in the offering, which will pass by in just a little bit. That gives us a record of your attendance. It's a way for us to just say, hey, thanks for coming and being a part of what we're doing here. And thanks for coming and worshiping with us. You know, there's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we just want to once again say thanks for all of you being here today. Thank you for those of you that are tuning in online. We want to say hi to you too. And I have a few announcements for you this morning, and want to make sure that you know about those things. We had a really cool thing that happened yesterday, and that was that we had the girls' ministry Honor Star and Friends graduation ceremony. It was at Crossroads Church in Oklahoma City on 89th and Shields. And we had 3 Honor Star graduates and 1 Friends graduate. And so we want to congratulate them today, and I want to acknowledge them by name from the pulpit. So we had Cabri, Addie, and Isabella. All were Honor Star graduates, and you can see them right up there. Yeah, yeah. And Emily was a Friends graduate. And don't mind the 2 knuckleheads on each side. Although I do think this side looked a little better. Okay, so we just want to say congratulations. That is a lot of hard work. They have to memorize scripture. They have to go through a lot of units and a lot of a dedication to being here every Wednesday, dedication to being here on every Sunday and when their classes are, and taking notes and doing other things. And so it's not just something they just hand out. If they handed it out, there'd be lots and lots of girls up there. I know as far as the Fringe graduates, there was 27 for the whole state, and we had 1 of them here out of our church. And I don't know, I'm guessing Honor Stars, what do you think? Velasquez is maybe 80 of them, 80 to 100, probably somewhere around 80 or so Honor Stars. But that's out of the entire state, 480 Assemblies of God churches, and we had 3 of them. We had 3 of them, and so I got to be honest with you. Yeah, amen, 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 yeah. Yeah, it was another pastor friend of mine walked up, and he's like, "Yeah, you got a girl here." And I said, "Well, we have 4, but I mean, who's counting?" But I'm just saying. Then I got my guy down. I'm like, "Oh, you have 1. Well, that's cute." So, so anyway, little spiritual pride. Will pray for me. All right. But we are super, super proud of them. It was an honor to go and cheer them on and celebrate. And if you see these young ladies, make sure you give them a pat on the back and tell them, way to go. I want to thank those of you who have been bringing the vegetables and stuff out front. Several members of our congregation have expressed what a blessing that is with the cucumbers and the okra and all the tomatoes and all kinds of stuff. What a blessing it is to walk into the house of the Lord, know you're going to receive spiritually and get a physical blessing too. How many of you, just by show of hands, have gotten some of the vegetables, have taken them? Look at this. Look at this. So these are, thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who have brought those in, and we really appreciate it. It is not too late to sign up for the women's ministry conference. You can see Miss Carol back there. Miss Carol's waving. And how many do we have right now? 15 or so already? Okay, 10? I made that up. I thought it was 15. We're going to have 15 prophetically. I'm speaking from the pulpit, and so you can see Miss Carol, and she will get you all signed up for the women's conference. And our fall missions convention is coming up next month, and we want you to be ready for that, along with a lot of different things. One more thing I want to highlight: we have a sign up out in the foyer. It's called the Adopt a Flower Bed, and we have several flower beds around our property. And we're asking that groups or individuals be wanting to sign up and say, "Hey, I'll make sure that that flower bed looks good." And how many of you know that it's a good thing for the house of the Lord to look good and to honor the Lord in that way. And so we'd love for you to help us in that area. And I actually forgot this. Today, tonight at 6 p.m., young people, teenagers, we're having a kickball game. Come on, how many of you guys remember kickball? Kickball gets serious, people, all right? I've injured a hip or two playing kickball, all right? And probably will do it again tonight. So anyway, we're going to be playing right here at the church with some other youth groups that are coming to meet with us. And so several youth groups are getting together. And so from about 6 to 8, we're going to be playing kickball. And we'll have water and refreshments and things like that because it's going to be hot. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that too. Well, I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Look at these guys. They look pretty good. Most of them look trustworthy. Amen. As we're receiving the tithe and offering, once the offering bag passes, you can stand back up as we go back into worship. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you so much, Lord, for the tithe and for the offering. And, Lord, we pray that you just multiply it and bless it. And, Lord, may you just continue to further the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go back into worship.
Your kindness, it leads me to repentance. Your goodness, it draws me to your side. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my
God. You are God.
Good. And in Psalms it says that let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord our God and our Redeemer, Lord our Rock and our Redeemer. Lord, I just pray this morning that is true, that the words of our mouth that we're saying right now and the meditation of our heart, Lord, that it is glorifying you, that it's acceptable to you. And that you would just touch each and every one of us this morning, Lord, for we know that you are good and that you are with us. And we believe that you are going to do a major awakening in your church. And she is ready and she is waiting, Lord Jesus. I just pray that you would just fall on us this morning, Lord. That there would be an outpouring of your spirit this morning in the service, Lord, as we worship you. And we just thank you, Father, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness and your mercy. You are all that we need. You're all that we need. We just praise you and we thank you, Father, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserved. God, you're so good.
It's like your go-to hymn, that when things in life aren't working out the way you expect it, that you sing. This is my hymn. It's my hymn that I sing to him when I don't think I can do it anymore, because it reminds me why I love him. He's all that I need. And when things look dark and bleak, I'm gonna love him anyway, because he died on the cross for me. And someday I'm going to stand with him in heaven, and I'm going to sing with a glittering crown on my head. This is my song. It may be your song too, but it's my song of remembrance to remind me always why I do what I do, why I walk the walk that I walk, because I love him and he loves me, and he gave it all. Gave it all for me. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee overflow these of sin I precious Redeemer, my Savior.
Come on, don't you love Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you today, God. We praise you and magnify you and glorify your name. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We have some needs I want to pray over this morning. Pam Newell is very, very sick at Norman Regional Hospital. She has a bacteria infection, and we just want to pray for her this morning. Kelly Kinman's uncle passed away due to the virus, so we want to remember Kelly's family. Stephanie Velasquez's uncle Donnie is very ill as well with the virus and is on a ventilator. So we want to pray for Donnie this morning. Rindy's nephew, Barrett, and his wife, Melody Hall, both are sick with the virus. We want to pray for them. And then one of our missionaries, he's actually the Hispanic director of Oklahoma, Mark Fitzgerald. He is very, very sick with the virus. He's in ICU in McAllister Hospital. His wife, Nancy, also has it. There are others. And so I just want us to pray for these this morning and pray that the Lord touch them. Join me in prayer. Father, we just lift up these needs this morning. We do pray for Pam Newell right now, that you would touch her there in the hospital. I ask that you would just reach down your hand, oh God, and place it up on her body and raise her up, Father God. Restore her health. We pray, Father God, for Stephanie's uncle Donnie. We pray the same thing for him, that you would touch him right now, Lord, that you would just cause your healing virtue to flow into his body and rid him of this virus and let him be completely set free. The same with Barrett and Melanie and with Mitch and Nancy. We just pray for these this morning, that you would touch them, bring healing to their body right now as your church. We stand and we lift them up together. We pray that you would just deliver them all. And Father, be with Kelly's family, Lord, as this uncle has passed. I pray for comfort and peace to be upon all of their family. Lord, we thank you for this Sunday that we can come together, that we can worship you, that we can pray together, that we can be challenged by the Word of God together, and we can rejoice in the Lord our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. So good to see you this morning. Isn't it a joy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. And we are so excited this morning to have one of about 70 missionary families that we support. I want to thank you for your missions giving. I'm so glad to be part of a missions giving church. You know, God blesses his favor upon missions giving churches and missions minded churches. And today we are happy to have one of those families that we have been supporting for several years. $100 a month. Nearly every missionary that we support gets $100 a month. Some get a little bit more, but that is awesome for a church this size, and I thank the Lord for that. This morning, we are happy to have Stephen and Tiffany and their family here. So at this time, I'm going to introduce them. Would you help me welcome Stephen and Tiffany and their family?
Thank you. registration, your license, your insurance. But then we also have an ecology card and a license card and then a permission to drive card. And so each one of these has an expiration date, and it's usually different than the other ones, so that among all those documents, one of them for sure you've let expire. And so then they can extract their fee from you. I try to be a law-abiding citizen, and I really work hard to make sure that my documents are in order. And so they'll kind of flip through it and be like, oh, well, it looks like everything's in order here, but hey, can't you help me out and give me some money for lunch today? He's got to make a living somehow, right? And that's how he makes his living. So that's just part of everyday life. So you can imagine that happening several times along the way. Sometimes it gets a little exhausting, but it's just part of life. So you can imagine if that's what it's like driving down the road, for those of you that are privileged enough to drive, then it's even more interesting when we go to get something like our visa. It's not legal for us to be missionaries there. We work as humanitarian workers, but we've got to go over here and apply for the documents, and we get them, and then they bring it over here, and they get it stamped, and then we submit all those documents over to this office to actually receive the visa. And of course, at each one of those offices, guess what? Yeah, somebody's got, maybe not actually have their hand out, but they make it pretty clear. Oh, you mean you wanted to get your visa this year? Okay. You mean you want to keep your family here? Oh, you want your family to stay with you too? So those are kinds of things that it means when it's dealing with corruption and part of life. And it's not just us. That's just normal life for many people in Tajikistan if they're trying to get something processed like their driver's license. So, yay. We're so glad that God called us there. So we could go in among a place that's just normal for them and become one of them, just like Paul called us, just like what Jesus did for us. He became one of us. And so we've got to have the opportunity to learn the language that Daniel in the Bible would have heard in the courts of the Persian kings. As-salam. We're so thankful that God is here and that we get to be in God's presence, that we get to go with God. That's the opportunity we have to there. Because where is God working? What is God doing? Even though Islam has increased, even though guys have come back from Russia and are don't have anything to do, and so now instead they're going to the mosque. Mosque used to be something that old guys with turbans used to go to on Fridays, and now the markets are closed and people are going there because it's their identity. It's saying, well, who are we as a national person? So we're going to go to the mosque and hang out there. So it's changed, but they're not necessarily hungry for God. They're just doing what everybody else is doing. And yet into this darkness, into this place where we say it's spiritually dark, that's exactly why God has called us there. There's this main road that goes from the two largest cities, from the capital city where we live to another large city, and it goes over a couple mountain passes. I think there's a picture of one of those roads that goes through the mountain pass with some snow on it. And it's, just a little bit of snow. Okay, now remember, this is mountains. I mean, so we get snow and yeah, that's higher than a semi-truck. And this is the main highway, so this is like jumping on I-35. And you can see how the two trucks can easily pass. It gets a little bit sketchy sometimes. And so there's a challenge because you don't always know. As you can see, there's no streetlights and, what's coming. You don't know if there's a truck coming at you. You don't know if there's been an avalanche. You just can't see. And yet that's kind of been our journey of what God has called us to do is into the spiritual dark place. God has called us to bring his light, to be the light of Christ in a spiritually dark place. And that means we don't always know what's coming around the next bend. It doesn't mean we can see what's going to happen, but as we trust God and are obedient to shine the light into that dark place, that, we can see a little bit further. And God allows that his kingdom to expand a little bit further. And how does he do that? Well, there's a lot of different ways that God has been doing that. Some that he's privileged us to be a partner with and to use us. Some of that's been through a company that we worked with for a number of years. It was a renewable energy company. It means we were up on roofs and slowly installing solar hot water panels, going to villages that didn't have electricity so that they could have electricity from solar electricity. It means we're going to those places where, these villages have existed before there was roads and cell phones. And so going to those kind of places, and I think there's some pictures of just what those villages might look like. But of course, when you get there, there's not a nice, Motel 6 or, nothing like that. So guess what? We're staying with people. And as we're in their homes, we're able to share with them the true source of power, not about panels, but about Jesus Christ, who has given everything so that they can have life and have it abundantly, so that they can have access to God himself. And as we go out, we've also partnered with Operation Christmas Child. That means that we're bringing boxes from that get shipped from America, and then we are able to bring them into schools and communities to give them as a gift, and then invite them to come and to hear the gospel in a home, to give them, and often if we're able to, we even present them with a Bible that's in their language. It's a kid's Bible, and so many of the kids will be flipping through it and looking at the pictures and trying to read it, and they're excited. And sometimes, you know, we only give one per family because that's what we have available, and so sometimes you see siblings that are kind of jostling over who gets to take it home, and they're so excited because it's not that fact that this is like, well, they actually get their own Bible. It's the reality that this is the first Bible that they've ever touched or seen in their entire lives. And God's word is going out into villages, and we're so thankful that his word does not return void, but it is going out and is reaching into hearts and into communities. So thank you for partnering with us in there. We've got other opportunities as well. I know it sounds like I'm going to this village, and here we work with children with disabilities. Again, another opportunity to not only minister to a real, tangible need, but then to also share the gospel. As because of this child that may have, you know, cerebral palsy or something else, that now we get to share the gospel in that home. And so God is opening up the doors and using these precious little ones to allow his word to go out. I know we go from this place, and my wife as well has been busy not only homeschooling kids and taking care of the home. You can imagine how much challenging it is to clean the house when the water's dirty. So, you know, there's extra work there. But she's also been involved with something called Caravan of Hope. It's a women's rescue center that's actually women that are coming out of human trafficking or domestic violence situations that are then have a safe place to live for them, their children if they have any. But then they're learning a new skill, cooking, jewelry making, sewing, that they can then make a living on their own, get out of those situations. More than just the learning, more than just the opportunities that are given, though, they have a chance to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There's women that are there that love Jesus and are sharing with them and are praying with them day after day and demonstrating the love of God. And to see that transformation as these women begin to realize that they don't have to give up something else. They don't have to go somewhere else. They don't have to do something else to get something, to get love, but rather that God has already done everything so that they would know his love. And when they finally realize that, and the transformation is on their face and it's in their actions and in their words, we're so thankful that God is bringing transformation. In all this, our goal is not only to get God's word out, but to be obedient to what he said. What did Jesus say? He said to go into all the world, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then there's that promise, right? That I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And so we believe that that's what our calling is not to simply go and to share the message. That's great. People that haven't heard need to hear the gospel. But when they do hear, we need to raise up disciples. What does it mean to become a disciple? There's one story I'd like to share, and it's about actually somebody from an unreached people group. I don't know if that's a term that you are familiar with, but in places like in Central Asia, you've got groups of people that literally speak a different language. They have a different culture. They may even have a different, slightly different appearance, you know, skin color or hair color. And so some of them kind of have been isolated. Some of them are still isolated years, even after the Soviet Union. So you've got communities. One of those is the Paria. They live in various parts in Central Asia, and up to 2 years ago, there was no known believers among the Paria people, that many. And so there was a project that was done. It takes a little while to translate this whole book, and so they started off with just doing some video projects, and one of those video projects was to do a story from the Bible, and so some people were brought from the Paria community to translate from the local language that I speak into this language. And so as they were doing that, there was this one young man who came. He's married, he's got family, but he's younger than me. And he's going there, and he was reading the Quran, and he would pray 5 times a day. But when he went there, they would pray before they started, or maybe they would pray at a meal. And he said, you know, you guys pray differently. He's like, I do this, and I say my prayer, but when you pray, it's like you're actually talking straight to God. And he's like, I don't understand how you can do that. How do you? Well, they said, well, the story that you're translating is from the Holy Book, and you're more than welcome to look at some of the other stories and that. So he began to do that on his coffee breaks and lunch. He began to just read. He began to read through the Holy Bible, and he was reading through it. And he would come back and say, hey, wait a minute, but I just read about this. How does that work? Or I never heard of Jesus doing that. How did he do that? And so he kept coming with questions, and they would answer his questions. And one day he's like, I want to meet Jesus. If all these people in the Bible got to meet him, I want to meet him too. Okay. He got introduced to Jesus. Well, he said, well, you know, I'm so excited that I met Jesus because I've always wanted to connect to God. I've always done that. I've done my prayers, and I've listened to the Quran as my father would read it with the intention that somehow I could get closer to God, that somehow I would know God. And now I can just talk to him like you guys. This is amazing. So he said, well, can I take this home? And they're like, sure, you can take it home. And, you know, in a professional setting, we can't give out Bibles. That would be thought as proselytizing. So, but he wanted to take it. So, yeah, he took it home and took it home to his wife and began to read some of these stories. She can't even read, so he was just reading to her. They're having family story hour. Kids would sit around, and they would read these stories. And she kind of saw something happening in her husband's life and was like, well, I want to meet Jesus too. So her husband introduced her to Jesus, and they started having family time with Jesus, reading about what he's done, and the kids got getting excited. Well, he was going off to work, and his wife's cousin started coming over for tea, you know, because that's what they do. It's family. It's all kind of tight, and they all hang out together anyway, and so they're coming over, and they're drinking tea, and she's starting to tell them these stories that her husband's reading, and so they were saying, well, that's great. We want to hear some more stories, and she's like, well, those are the three that I know. You're going to have to come over tomorrow because he'll read another one tonight. And so they were doing that. So they were coming back the next day and they're like, okay, well, what story did your husband read last night? And she would relay the story. Well, her husband found out about this, like, you know, we're going to run out of time here, you know, if we, you know, have company every evening, you know, it's kind of part of the culture, but still, he's like, why don't we meet together once a week and we can all read the story together? So basically, they started having church. They got together, they sang some songs that they were learning, they read some scripture, they read a story, and they would dialogue and work through and begin to understand who Jesus is. And they were kind of getting excited about this because they met Jesus and they wanted to learn more about him, and then their husbands found out. So we'll call this young man Zach. And so, you know, really, these are his cousins or his cousins-in-laws. These are family. And they heard about it, and they're saying, well, we go to the mosque, and we are trying to be respected in this community, even though maybe ethnically we're kind of looked down on. And they said, we don't really want our wives going to this meeting, you know, talking about things that aren't in the Quran. And he's like, well, okay, you know, but, you know, why don't you at least come out one time and see what we're doing, at least be there so you know. I mean, hey, we're family after all. And they're like, okay, well, yeah, I suppose, since we're family. So they came out, and they sat there, and they did what they normally do. They had the songs, and they opened up the Bible, and they read a story about Jesus. And they're kind of like, wait, well, we've never heard that story. And we go to the mosque every week, and we've never heard that story. And he's like, they're like, well, we want you to read another story. And I always love how God gives wisdom to new believers, because he said, well, you know, it's getting late, and we've got work tomorrow. He said, you have to come back next week. And so they're like, okay. So they came back the next week, and then they came back the week after that, and then they came back the week after that, and then guess what? They wanted to meet Jesus too. And so God is growing his church. He's growing what the work that's happening among these new believers. And one of the stories that they read was about when Philip met with the Ethiopian on the way. And he read that story, and he said, well, hey, I've met Jesus. I want to get baptized. And we said, great, that's what the Bible teaches. This is what it means to obey God. And we said, but it's wintertime. I mean, did you see the snow? It's a little bit cold. And there are some rivers that run, and it's just melted snow that run in the wintertime if they don't freeze over. And we said, you know, we understand the culture. We try to be culturally relevant. And in Tajikistan, there's this fear of the cold. Like, you wrap your babies even in the summertime. And you always drink hot liquids, like hot tea. And so, yep, you know, I mentioned before, you know, so when it's 110 degrees and I'm sitting down outside in the sun, and guess what I get served? I get served tea. Yeah. Oh, it's so warm and refreshing. At least the bacteria's been killed. That's what I always think. But, you know, as the sweat drips down your back and kind of you think, man, it's hot. And so there's culturally, there's this fear of the cold. You always do everything warm. And you know, there's specific things like women will never sit on a cement or stone because you don't want to catch a cold. And so being aware of this, we said, well, you know, hey, it's okay. God's not going to judge you if you want to wait until springtime. Right? I mean, you can get baptized in the springtime. That's cool. God's not, you know, he can wait. And he's like, well, we've been reading about Jesus doing all these miracles. If Jesus can do that, surely he can take care of us in the wintertime. Okay, God, increase my faith. What was I thinking? Yes, of course he can do that. God can do that. Okay. So as unto your faith, right? And so we're like, okay, we coordinated and he would plan the day. And it wasn't snowing when it happened, but it was still kind of chilly. It was kind of nice out, but, you know, cold and go down into the ice. We got a local brother, pastor, that was willing to go, and so down into the water they went, and he was, I don't think he had as much faith as our friend Zach, and so he went in pretty quick, and he's like, I baptize you in Jesus' name, and then together they baptized his wife, and then they kind of got back out of the water, and they're drying off, and my friend Zach's like, well, but wait a minute, Didn't Jesus say we're supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You know, my point here is not to make a theological issue about this, so that's not my point. My point is that he read God's word, and he said, isn't this what Jesus said? And so guess what they did? Mm-hmm. Yeah, back into the cold water, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and baptize his wife as well. Why? Because he wanted to obey what Christ had taught. That's what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to walk with him, is to not only to read it, not only get excited about it, not only have that time of communion with God and have prayers answered, but then to say, this is what God has said and I'm going to do it. Even if it means doing it again or a third time, I want to be obedient to God's word. And so we're so thankful that God is raising up disciples. We get to have a hand in it. We get to have a piece in it. But that's what we're seeing happen. And we want to pray that God would do that even more, that God would open up doors of ministry. We have the same prayer that Paul had when he wrote to his church and said, pray with me that I would have boldness. Pray that the doors of ministry would be open for us. Pray that just like what God is doing among the Paria community, that he would do among the Turkmen community. Because in this country, we there's no known Turkmen believers. Pray that God would allow us to go. We go to those villages. I work with their children. So can we commit to pray? As you guys have committed to give, and we're so thankful for that, as God is working among his church. And, you know, on the way out, if you grab a prayer card, if you're watching online, you know, you can, hopefully there'll be some left at the church. You can come in and grab one. And not only to pray for us, but to pray with us. That we would unite together in prayer and say, God, open up the door of ministry. Open up the hearts. May these people who have not heard hear the good news of Jesus Christ. You may not remember the names, but you can say, you know, God, that village that they're going into this week or that village that they're going into this year that they're praying for, God, open up the doors there. God is doing a work, and we're so thankful for it. But it's not just us. It happens because of prayer. It happens through your giving. And the picture that you're seeing, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, because these are some of the people from that church I was just sharing about. And it came around Christmas time. And ever since I was a kid, I grew up with Christmas. That's just been part of my family culture, part of our national culture. And they were like, well, we want to celebrate. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. I didn't even cross my mind. It's just normal for me. But we got some things together, and of course, you know, any party's going to have food. And we thought, oh, presents, that's kind of normal. So we kind of helped coordinate that. And we got there, and they began to sing, and they began to celebrate. They began to recite verses from Luke. And I realized that this was the first time in their lives that they've ever been able to celebrate Christmas, because Christ came for them. That's what we get to do. We have that privilege of sharing, and that Christ came near, not only for us, but for each one of them as well. God wants his word to go out. And I thank you for partnering with us to see that happen, that God is building his church, even in spiritually dark places, that his word and his light is going out. So thank you for that. Thank you for praying with us. I don't have a great segue, but I do believe that God has called us to prayer. And I believe that that's what God has for us today in his word, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So as we kind of just transition to that, let's go ahead and pray. Ask God to just simply speak to our hearts today. Father, we come before you. We come humbly, acknowledging, God, our need of you. As we've worshiped you this morning, we thank you that you, God, are good. And we know that you right now want to speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying. That we would be receptive, God, to what you want to speak to us, God, whether we're here in person or we're online, God, that we would know you more today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've been talking about telling stories, and admittedly, this is what I do. You know, for 4 years at a time, I'm used to just telling stories. We get stories from the Bible, and we share them in different places, in government contexts. And you know, wherever we go, it's not that hard to share stories. So that's what we do a lot, of sharing stories, and it always connects to God and to Christ. But we share those stories about something that God has done. And there's this story in Exodus 17 I would like to look at, and it's something that I believe that God has really wants to draw some things out from today. But I've got this one issue, because I feel like if we jump into the middle of a story, we kind of are lost. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you like, you turn on the TV or something, it's like the middle of a movie, and you're like, you try to follow along, and you're like, wait, who is that? Why are they doing this? Wait, where are they? Are they on another planet? Are they in the mountains, right? You're kind of lost because you don't have the setting. You don't know who the characters are or who the good guy is or who the bad guy is. And if we just jump right into Exodus, I feel like that's kind of where we're at. So real quick, I just kind of want to bring us up to that place because some of you, maybe you're right there. You already know who these people are. And other people are like, wait, how about Abraham? You guys have heard of Abraham? All right, I see two hands and a nod. Three hands. Great, thank you. So Abraham, God calls this guy out, and he says, I'm going to make you into a nation and a people. And he does that, and they're called out. And then he has Isaac, his son, and kind of the same promise there. And then Jacob, his son, and then he becomes Israel. And then, you know, he's got 12 kids, well, 13. And then, you know, kind of keeps expanding. And then they end up in Egypt. Oh, the whole story about Joseph, prince of Egypt. All right, some of you guys saw that cartoon that I watched with my kids, you know, the coat of many colors, and then he ends up there, and God does some other neat miracles, and so then all of their family, all of the people of Israel, end up in Egypt, and then kind of time goes by, and we're not given all the they get to the Red Sea, and they're like, hey, this is what we've always wanted. It's like beach vacation. You know, right? Like, man, we've been in slavery. I never knew what it was like, and so this is what it's like to have vacation home. Great. And they're camped there by the sea, and next thing they know, they hear Pharaoh and his chariots coming after them. They knew what those things sounded like. Moses, you said we were going to be free, but now we're just going to get mowed down. And so again, God tells Moses, take the staff. Strike the waters, right? Make a little splash. Okay, right? All of a sudden, not because of what the staff did, but because of God, right? The waters begin to part and the wind begins to blow so that millions of people and all their sheep and goats and camel and carts can go through. This isn't just like, oh, there's a little path, and if you go through, you cannot get wet. No, I mean, this is a massive highway through the middle of a sea. And apparently by this time, Pharaoh's so not fazed by what God can do that he's like, okay, when the way opens up, they just charge after them. Okay, in you go. And there they go. They follow after them, and the people are running for their lives. And the timing isn't exact, but they get on the other side, and here comes Pharaoh, but God then brings the waters back down. And so finally, they're on the other side of the Red Sea, and they're looking back, and there, God has done it. He's not only brought them out of Egypt, but then he's destroyed their enemies. And so they've got their tambourines, and they're jumping around, and they've got their drums, and they're making music, and they're saying, yes, God has done it. He's run the horse and the rider into the sea. And then they turn around, and they're like, you know, Moses, this is great, but this is just a desert. And I thought you promised us like milk and honey. And you know, remember we had cucumbers and melons. There's nothing. And so they go walking through the desert. And again, God instructs Moses to take the staff because there's nothing to drink. And he says, go ahead and strike the rock. And water begins to flow out of the rock. That same symbol, water, not a stream, a gushing river that was enough, again, right? We're talking millions of people and all their animals to drink. And so that's really where we end up in Exodus 17. And at that point, after coming through this experience, after getting to this place, they're there, they're trying to get to the water, they've been thirsty, they've been out in the desert. We get to Exodus 17, verse 8, and it says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. I mean, you read it like this, and it's just so matter-of-fact. They're here, this happened, boom, they got attacked. We don't have much other information about them right in this text. And so Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Right? So he's saying, okay, you know what? That staff that's begun to symbolize God's power, I'm gonna take that with me. Because, you know, surely if I've got that, then we'll win. And so this is kind of the plan. This isn't a huge military strategy. It's not like they've been sitting around and they've got maps. And it's just like they've gotten attacked. They need to respond. If a robber comes into your house, you respond. If something happens, you respond. If somebody's messing with you, right? You respond to the situation. And so that's all Moses is kind of doing. Like, okay, you're the general. You're the guy that's in charge of the army. You go fight. I'm going to take the staff up on the hill. And so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Now when we read it like that, this whole event takes about 33 seconds. And sometimes when we read something in scripture context, we kind of get that kind of active, right? Like, okay, you're on Facebook. Oh, I read that post. Oh, I read that post. Go on to the next one. Sometimes we kind of do that with God's word, and we kind of lose sight of what actually happened, that God was actually doing something. But this was a real day in the lives of real people, and they got attacked. And so they make up this plan. And so then the next day, right, they're ready. He says, tomorrow do this. Okay. And so it says Joshua did it. And he's got his sword. He's got his guys. These are guys that are protecting their families. And he says they go out and fight. So early in the morning, they get up. They're going out to fight. And, you know, maybe they ate their breakfast. They had their Wheaties, whatever. I haven't even seen Wheaties lately. They ate something that was nutritious. And they're ready to go and to charge. And so they go out into battle. Thank you guys for following me on the video. I know I'm all over the place this morning. And so they're going out, and they're beginning to fight against these people that had been attacking them, the Amalekites. And they're fighting, and they're ready to go, and they're defending their own family. I mean, you've got a little extra motivation there. And so they begin to push back and go attack them. And they're kind of, yeah, this is good. And Moses did exactly what he said he was going to do. He took the staff, and he took Aaron and Hur, and they go up on the hill, and he's up there. And we know from many scriptures that Moses was a man of prayer. And so we can imagine that's no different at this time when he kind of gets up there and he's got the staff. Okay, I got this. But, you know, really, I mean, my people, my family's down there. And so you can imagine he's sitting there praying. He's praying, God, you know, be with them. You know, be with Joshua and the army. Let them be swift. Let them win this battle. Let them not be struck down today. Be a shield around them. And we can imagine that he's praying. He's interceding. You know, but even the best of us, I mean, I can make it a good 15 minutes when I'm praying, and then I kind of run out of words. Maybe some of you, you know, you can do the half hour. Maybe you're really good intercessors. You can pray that whole hour. Thank you for praying through. But at some point, we kind of run out of words, and we can see that Moses, at some point, he's kind of prayed. He's up there, and maybe he's watching the battle going on, or maybe he's talking to Aaron and her. But something down in the battlefield has changed. We don't know exactly how that works, but he's down there. Joshua's down there fighting, but then this guy over here takes a hit. And somebody over there is yelling out in pain. And you can imagine Joshua trying to rally the troops, saying, come on, guys, let's hold our ground. Let's not get pushed back. But they're getting pushed back. They're taking some hits. And this is real. It's battle. And at some point, up here on the hill, Moses begins to hear something. He hears the cries going out. And it's no, it wouldn't be a surprise that, he would begin to intercede and say, God, don't let these fall. I know that family. I know his wife. I know their kids. God, be with him. Give them strength. Give them strength in their arms. Let their swords be swift, right? And he could see him again when he's beginning to pray. And as he's praying and calling out on God, that things begin to happen again. And he sees that, hey, again, Joshua begins to push forward. He begins to move. He begins to push back against the Amalekites. And this is kind of exciting. And so as it happens, he's going and Moses is praying and they're starting to win again. We actually don't know how many times this happened. And so for sake of the cameraman and for your own ability, I won't keep doing this, but scripture indicates that it's happened several times. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. This has happened more than once. This is not something that Moses heard from God, because when the people were saying, hey, we need water, Moses went to God and God said, take the staff, strike the rock. God gave him very clear and specific instructions. But in this instant, they just got attacked. And so they're just responding. They're doing what they're being called to do. I'm a spiritual leader. I'm going to do this. You're the warrior. You're the fighters. You go defend us. And so they're just kind of responding to the situation. And so we can't blame him. We can't say, well, it's Moses' fault that these people are getting struck down. No, I mean, anytime something happens, he's praying. But time and again, there's this ebb and flow. When Moses is praying, they're winning. When he's not. And so somehow, somebody makes the realization. Somebody makes the connection. I don't know if it was Moses or if it was Aaron or her, but they kind of said the light bulb went on. And we're like, wait a minute. You know, there's natural ebb and flow in the battle, sure. But we've seen that when you have your hands up, they're winning. And when they're down, they're not. And so when they made that realization, when they realized there was a connection between the two, then they became responsible. I can't blame Moses for what happened before that. But once they understood why the things were happening on the battlefield like they were, he became responsible. And so then they did something about it, right? They got a stone. They sat him down on it. Aaron on one side, Hur on the other. And they held up his arms so that Joshua could win the battle that day. Joshua and the army. And so in verse 14, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. And so God said, after they won the battle, they're like, yes, we've defended ourselves. The Amalekites are gone. Yay, we won, and so I'm sure that these guys came in pretty bedraggled, right? I mean, they fought from sunrise to sunset. That's a long day to be in hand-to-hand combat. They came back and like, and I'm sure they're kind of bumping each other and whatever, saying, yeah, we did it. Good job, guys. They're kind of, all right. But God says, write this on a scroll to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. I mean, really, in scripture, this is the first time we've even heard about Joshua as a person. Like, who is this guy? What's so important about Joshua? I mean, sure, he led the military that day, but like, why does he need to hear? Well, because he was the guy that was down in the battle. He was the one that was fighting all day long. And sure, he saw what was happening on the battlefield. He saw when this guy took a hit, or maybe he was lifting somebody up and putting up the shield. He was taking the hits and he was fighting back. But the reality is I've never been in hand-to-hand combat. My brother's been in the military. I'm pretty sure the one thing that's not a good idea when you're fighting somebody is to like, hey, I'm fighting over here, and I'm just going to turn around and see what the guy behind me is doing. Not a good idea, right? So we don't get the impression that Joshua did that. We get the idea that he was out there fighting all day long, and God says, I want him to know why he won. Make sure Joshua hears about it. Who's Joshua? Well, he's the guy that God is going to use from this first battle to go and to take the promised land, to bring the Israelites into that promised land. And God wanted him to know that on this very first battle, the reason that he won is because hands were lifted up to the throne of God. Now, as we read through this, maybe it never bothers you. There's sometimes I read something and I say, you know, God, I know that I'm here. I'm living in 2020 and not everything always makes sense to me. And sometimes we read through some of these stories and we say, well, you know, that's just what God did then. But sometimes it just kind of bugs me and I'm kind of like, God, really? I mean, the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation, right? I will blot out the memory of Amalek. I mean, like, this is pretty harsh. I mean, maybe you guys just doesn't bother you, but I mean, to me, I'm kind of like, man, I thought we were supposed to be called to go to play people like the Amalekites so they could hear the gospel, right? I mean, so what's changed? Is there something? And I just thought, you know, just struggled with that. And sometimes we never get to hear the rest of the story. I think there was a radio program for a while, you know, the rest of the story. And you hear something and it's kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And then you hear the rest of it and it changes how the whole rest of the story went. And I feel like that's what we get a little bit with this story. Because if we'll flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 25, we get the rest of the story, so to speak. Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, it says, "Remember what the Amalekites did to you along the way when you came out of Egypt. When you were weary and worn out, they met you on your journey and cut off all who were lagging behind. They had no fear of God." Wait a minute. I mean, I thought the Amalekites this was their home territory. I thought they were just kind of fighting against these intruders, right? These Israelites, these millions of people who all of a sudden showed up at their doorstep. That's kind of what the impression we had. They came and attacked them there at Rephidim. Instead, Moses is saying, hey, you remember the Amalekites? They were like robbers. They went after you because you were worn out. You were too weary to fight. They went after all those who were lagging behind. They were going after the easy pickings. I mean, you guys ever hiked or traveled? You know, there's always somebody that's lagging behind. Sometimes if somebody's sick, maybe they're in the wheelchair, you go through the airport and somebody's getting pushed in the wheelchair. Although sometimes I have to admit, we kind of like it because now they've got the electronic ones and they go flying through with the little beeper. I'm like, hey, can I just have a broken leg today? Right? Or you see it, right? Different places, somebody on crutches, right? It just takes them longer to get where they're going. Or when we go hiking, you know, we've got, you know, 11, 8, and 5. And so we'll go hiking off. And, you know, for a little while, my 5-year-old man, he's just got energy and he's running way ahead of everybody. But after a while, he's kind of dragging. And, you know, and then he'll give him some snackies and he'll be good to go for another 100 meters. And then he's kind of slow again. And so sometimes I got to pick him up and put him on my shoulders. There's some reason why people are lagging behind. They're worn out. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they have an actual disability. But not everybody's up in the front. Not everybody's in the crowd. And so these were those who got attacked that day. And so what do we see? We see the fact that the God says, I see them. Moses said, we need to defend them. God says, I see the weak and the needy. If you go through scripture, you'll find verse after verse where God is talking about this. Psalm 12, because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. Psalm 72, for he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Ezekiel 34, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. God sees the weak and the needy. He is the one who knows who they are, where they are. In scripture, it teaches that true religion is those who look after who? Widows and orphans. The people that almost everybody else always forgets about. God says, I see them. And he says, in this instant, it was when they were worn out. Remember we talked about the river that was coming? Well, some people just hadn't gotten there yet. They were still thirsty and parched, and they were trying to get to that amazing river that's flowing out of this miraculous occurrence, out of this rock, and they're just trying to get there. And these Amalekites had come and attacked them. And so today, if we listen to this story, what do we have for us to take away? What are our takeaways? What can we see that God wants to speak to us? You know, here it is, just some people that are trying to find a new life. And they get in this situation where they're getting attacked and they just kind of do what they're supposed to do. Joshua, he's a fighter. He's a general. He said, go and do what you're called to do. So you need to know your calling. Do your job. Fulfill what you've been called to do. For Joshua, it's pretty clear. He's to stand firm and to use your sword. Those are kind of the instructions that we have to go out and to fight. And scripture after scripture that is for us, especially in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. So you need to go out. You need to stand firm, and you need to use your sword. So if you're like, you know what, I feel like that's me. I feel like I'm on the front lines. I feel like I go out, and I wake up in the morning, and I go out, and I feel like I'm on the battlefield. There's things that are coming against me. There's people that are standing against me. There's things that happen that hurt. And God wants to remind you, you know what? Take your shield. Take your sword. Go out there. Stand firm. Do what you know you're called to do, but don't do it without your armor on. Don't do it without your shield of faith on. Don't do it without the sword. How else can you be victorious? How else can you fight? You need to know your word. Sometimes we can't, you know, it's not always about, what he's saying, he's not saying, okay, take the book, right, and go out and start whacking people with it. No, this isn't what we're talking about. He said, know the word. The power of Christ is through his spoken word. He spoke creation into existence. He spoke to the demon-possessed, and the demons fled. He spoke to those who were dead. Lazarus, come forth. And that dead guy walked out of a tomb and came back to life because of the spoken word. We need to have God's word in our hearts so that we can defend ourselves, so that we can speak truth to people who are desperately being attacked by the enemy because they simply are too weak or too sick to even defend themselves. What about Moses? Maybe today you feel a little bit like, well, yeah, I kind of see that, but man, I'm really dealing with this other situation. Maybe you've been praying for somebody. Maybe it's your own family member. Maybe it's your spouse or your kids or your parents. Maybe it's a coworker, and you just feel like, you know, I've been working with this situation, and I've been praying that God would do something. And I feel like, you know, as I've prayed, I've seen God do some things, and I praise him for that. But you know what? I still don't see victory. I don't see this happening the way I thought it would, the way that God's word says that he can redeem and restore, that he can rescue, and I just feel like I'm tired. Maybe you've gotten to that place where you're just like, you know, I'm kind of tired. I'm tired of what's going on. I'm tired of dealing with these things. I'm tired. I don't know if I can go to another store with another mask or talk to somebody else on Zoom, or I don't know what context you're in, but you just get to the place where you're saying, God, I don't know if I can go on any further. I've prayed the prayers that I can pray. I've used up all my words. But God, the situation still hasn't resolved itself. And so maybe we need to look at Moses and realize that we're told to pray without ceasing. Like what the story that Jesus said about the widow who came to the judge time and time again until he said, I'm going to get worn out if I don't answer and give her justice. The same if we look in Ephesians chapter 6, what do we see? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's the real battle. And verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I think he only said it about 5 times. Pray, pray, pray. I know you guys are probably familiar with the verse in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's others as well. James talks about prayer. We know that this is what we're called to do, and that we're supposed to pray without ceasing, and we know scripture, and sometimes we say, okay, God, I'm going to just obey you, and I'm going to just pray again. But Moses did it in community. Don't try to do it on your own. We were never called to walk this road alone. And sometimes we have these wonderful pictures of how we were walking with Jesus, and then he carried me. And I love those pictures, and I love how that makes me feel. But the reality is that Christ never called you to be by yourself the church. The church, by definition, are those who have been called out. It is a plural. It means all of us together. And so if you're the one that's standing there and saying, you know what, I've used up my words and I'm just wanna, I can't stand any longer, then you need to find an Aaron and a her. Find somebody that you trust, somebody that you know. Maybe like Moses, maybe it's your brother. I mean, Aaron was his older brother. How do you think he felt about Moses getting all the credit and having to hold up his arms? But he was willing to do it because he knew what was at stake. So find somebody and say, you know what, this is a burden. I wanna see victory in the life of my child. Will you pray with me? Maybe you don't even, it's not your burden, but will you hold up my arms? Will you come alongside me? Will you meet with me and just say, we're gonna help you. We're gonna support you in this. Maybe you're the Aaron or the her. Maybe you're the one that gets asked and someone says, hey, you know what? I've got this burden and I'm praying and I haven't seen the victory. Maybe you can be the one that says, you know what? Why don't you sit down here and I'm gonna hold up your arm. Because we're part of the same community. We're part of the same church. And we're not going to do this alone. We're going to do it in community. We're going to do it together as the church. All right, so we talked about Moses. We talked about Joshua. I feel like there's something that God has for each one of us in our own context as God has called us out. What about the people that were kind of left behind, the stragglers, the ones who are weary? We all get there. Maybe that's exactly who you identify with today. And you're like, yeah, that's me. I just feel like I'm at the end of the line. I've been going and I can't go any further. I'm just too worn out. I've tried to do that. And I know that God has good things for me. And I've been running after God. And I want to get to that place where there's a river of God's presence. And I just feel refreshed. But I'm not experiencing it right now. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been sick. We prayed for those that are in the hospital dealing with this virus. We're praying for them. And maybe those are some of the ones who are just feeling like today, like, I can't go on. They can't go on by themselves any longer. And there needs to be others who would come. But God says, I see you. I know right where you are. Even when nobody else notices, when no one else cares, when everybody else has moved on to something else and you're still struggling or dealing with this issue, God says, I see you. I know you. And you can call on God because not only does he see you, but he can save you. He can rescue those who are left behind. This is why we minister to children with disabilities, because they've been forgotten by the rest of culture, but God says, go there because I see them. The kids that are left all day in a room by themselves because their parents are having to, their dad's in Russia and their mom's out working in the cotton fields. God says, I see them. And so he sends us. Why did Joshua go out to fight? Because God said, I see them and you need to go out and fight and protect those who are part of our family or who need to be in our family. Psalm 40, but as for me, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You're my God. Do not delay. Sometimes we just, when we're in that position, we need to call out on God. He's our refuge. He's our strength. But we know that God is there. And in 2 Timothy 4:18, it says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. He can do it. He's got the army. He's strong enough. He's got the power. He can send people. But guess what? He sends his church to be the ones to defend the fatherless and the widow, the ones who are weak and needy. He can do it on his own. He can send an angel. But more often than not, he says, I want to raise up Joshua. I want to raise up his army. I want to raise up Moses and Aaron and Hur to go out and to be the person that can defend them. And as I asked you earlier to pray, I'm asked you to pray for the Turkmen people, for those who do not have a witness. There's not someone there where they can't go to a church like this on a Sunday morning and hear the gospel. They don't have the opportunity to read God's word because they have never seen it. Are we willing to count the cost and say, we will go, we will send, we will pray? Because the reality is sometimes when we're in a village or we've got runny tummy or we're dealing with some other issue, or like for almost a year of our lives where we had to leave the country every month because we couldn't get a visa, I feel a little bit like Joshua, where my head's in the battle and I honestly don't always turn around to see what's going on behind me. But I do believe that's because of people like you that have prayed that God has answered, that we have seen victory, that we are still serving today because people were willing to pray, to get on their knees, to lift up their hands. Guess what? It's no longer about the staff, that symbol. It's about What does Moses say? What does God say? Because hands were lifted up. Because this is the power that we have in God. This is the power that God works. He works through each and every one of you. You don't have to have the staff. Are you willing to lift up your hands and persevere and say, God, answer today. Answer in this situation. Now, I know you said it when I said earlier, I says I run out of words. You're thinking, well, I don't know. When's he going to run out of words? But I wanted us to look at this and really engage with the story. Because I believe that God is wanting to speak to each and one of you individually today. And I don't know which category you fit into. Maybe you identify with Joshua. Maybe you identify with Moses. Maybe you identified with the ones who are just weary. But I want to pray for you today. And then I want you to just say, God, what do you want to speak to me? Help me to take that from this place and be obedient to it, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we come before you, we acknowledge, God, our own weakness, our own inability. God, sometimes we get into situations where we're simply reacting to what comes up. God, we're just reacting like the Israelites were reacting to the attack of the Amalekites. This thing's come up, a virus comes up, economy things happen, job things happen, God, and we just react. But God, today I pray that you would help. For those who feel like a Joshua, God, you have called them out. You've called them to stand. I pray that you would help them to stand firm, that they would get in your word and that they would use it wisely. They would use it prudently, God, to bind up, to help those who are struggling alongside them, but then to fight back against the enemy. Lord, for those today who have been praying like Moses and have been interceding, but yet have not yet seen victory, God, I pray that today you would encourage them to continue to pray, to not give up in prayer, but God, to also gather them around, others around them who will pray with them, who will stand with them and say, we will see victory as we lift up our hands. And God, those today who simply are saying, I want to get to the river, but I'm not there yet. God, I pray that you would minister to them, that today would be a landmark moment when you say, I am here, I see you, I'm reaching my hand out to you, take it, and I will bring you to a place of refreshing and renewal. Maybe not always physically, we don't always see it happen on the outside, but God, you can renew us day by day in our spirits. I thank you for it. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, come.
Second. Tiffany, would you come up here a second? I think it'd be a tragedy. We've been talking about prayer and praying for people, not pray for this precious family. Amen. Would you stretch your hands toward them right now? Father, we just pray today right now for Stephen, for Tiffany, for Eliza, for Ezra and Ezekiel. We pray, Lord, that your blessing be upon them. We thank you for the word that he shared today, the challenge. We thank you, Lord, for they answered the call to go to this country that you have told them to go to. And we just want to send them forth with our prayers and with finance, Lord, and with our blessing, Lord, and with your blessing. And so we just pray for health. We pray for favor. We pray for the Spirit's anointing upon them, Lord. And we just thank you for them today. Bless them, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand for being with us today. Amen. Praise God. We want to receive an offering for them this morning. So as we do every time we have a guest or missionaries with us, we are so thrilled to have them with us today. And we want to support them today with an offering. If you're making out a check, just make it out to Noble Assembly of God and then put it in an offering envelope, put your name on it. And you can put on there, just put Stephen and Tiffany or put S and T. The missionary we had on Sunday, just so we know who we're talking about. Put Stephen and Tiffany, and it will go to 100% to them. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to once again sow good seed into this missionary family. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There's one more thing I'd like to do as you go ahead and continue receiving the offering, but I never want to close a service. I close very few services without giving an opportunity for someone to know Christ as Savior. So right now, if there's someone here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you don't know for sure that Christ is in your heart and that you want to be a believer. You know that you want to go to heaven. How many of you want to go to heaven when life is all over? Amen. Well, the only way you're going to get to heaven is if you have Jesus Christ in your heart. And so today, if you're here and you're not sure that Christ is in your heart, I would like to give you an opportunity to come and to do that. I'd like for you to just come right down here right now. If there's anybody right now, come right down here. I'm going to lead you in prayer, pray with you. Anybody, just get up from your seat right now. Anybody? Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's got Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for Stephen and Tiffany and your family being here. What a precious family. Man, that was awesome today. He talks fast, doesn't he? You know, I thought I talked fast. This guy talks fast, but I love it, man. The country that you're serving is blessed to have you there. And we're so proud that we can stand with you and support you in our giving and our prayers. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today. And we pray that you would bless this congregation, Lord, as they leave here today. Help us all to remember that we're missionaries wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you this morning.